John 14:6. Let's go there, please. A wonderful chapter of John 14. John 14:6, and we'll begin to read. It says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. He's talking to Philip. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father. If you'll do that, it sufficeth us. Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. That means, you know, it we'll be satisfied. That'll convince us. We'll be satisfied with that. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me have seen the Father. And how sayest then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Then he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, I want to talk to you a little while tonight on the work of the Holy Ghost. Just the work of the Holy Ghost. It's interesting to me because we got all these uppercase S's and lowercase S's and the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit. And then we've got the Holy Ghost. And I kind of just want to look tonight at some of the work of the Holy Ghost in our life, okay, in our world. Zach, if you will, pray for us, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be in the house of God tonight. We thank you for the precious Word of God. We pray, dear Lord, that you'd help us to have our minds in the Word of God. Dear Lord, that our hearts be prepared to receive the truth of the Word of
God. Help us, God.
Dear Lord, we pray that you'd help our pastor tonight to give him clarity of thought, that he would say the things that you would have him to say.
Oh, my God. Help
God,
us, Lord.
God, that we would obey the things that you want us to obey, dear Lord, in the Word of God. I pray that you'd help us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you, sir. Verse 15, I'm going to read it again because it's probably one of my favorite verses, or, you know, it connects with some of my favorite verses. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Doesn't it make you sick, church, when you hear people that live like the devil try to turn around and tell you how much they love God? It just does. I don't know about you. I can't speak for you, but I try to be positive, Michael. I don't like to be a hateful, mean, you know, disgruntled old guy or preacher. And I mean, I'm real good at it. Just ask my wife. But nonetheless, I don't like it. And I like happy and positive and fun and free. And I like all that kind of stuff. But church, I'm honest with you. I just absolutely cannot stand to hear somebody try to tell me how much they love God and yet they don't live for him. How much they love God and yet they live like the devil. They do not do the things that God says. They will not walk in his commandments. They do not keep his statutes. And They will not walk in godly standards or anything else. But listen to me. If you'll go back over and read the book of Deuteronomy, I promise you unto God, God was very plain and God wasn't very positive and very friendly and very free and very happy about some of the things he had to say in Deuteronomy. But here's what he told them. He said, if my people don't obey my commandments, he said, I'm going to let junk come in their life and it's going to ruin their life. He said, I'm going to let some junk, some judgment fall in their life. God didn't tolerate them not walking in his commandments. He was pretty ugly about some of the things he said he was going to allow happen to the people of God if they just didn't keep his statutes. Right. And as ugly as it may seem, but ladies and gentlemen, I read this stuff in the Bible and people go, man, I love God. They don't live for him. They don't pray. They don't do anything. They have no servitude. Nothing towards God. And I love God. No, you don't. You're a liar. The devil's deceived you. You deceived yourself. Your heart's deceived you. You hate God. That's all there is to it. And more people hate him than I believe love him. Either God's a liar or man's a liar, huh? You figure it out. Which one of them's a liar, huh? God said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Which one of them's a liar? Good. I'm sorry, but I did, Michael. I wasted some precious time, but I found it to be interesting, and I was intrigued, and I had a desire to watch it, but I did watch the inauguration, and I watched several things around it, like the inaugural prayer service and some of that stuff. And one of the things that I've noticed about politicians is that they're just very handy. I couldn't help but to notice they're just very handy people. You watch them as the cameras is on them because the cameras is on them nonstop. And I don't mean to pick anyone out or to be ugly, and I'm not trying to be funny. But they would put the camera on Bill Clinton, and so help me God, he had his hands on every other woman 10 times more than he ever did his wife. I would watch him as he would place his hands sensually on the back of a woman, and his hand would slide down her back. Friend, that's not good. Do you hear me? I'm just telling you, I watched Joe Biden back when Obama was getting elected, and they were swearing in Joe Biden, and there he was talking to another woman, and he had his hands on her, and he was rubbing on her. It was absolutely filthy to watch him rub on that woman. Wasn't his wife. Just handy. Hands on. Here's what your Bible says. Does your Bible say in 1 Corinthians 7, 1 and 2, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Is that what your Bible says? It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Then he said, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Right? And let every woman have her own husband. Now let me tell you something. God bless your heart. If that man loves God, he'll keep his stinking hands off of another woman. Amen. If that man can put his hands on another woman, according to God, he don't love God, friend. He loves his flesh. He loves that woman. He loves sexuality. He loves arousement. But he don't love God. I don't care if he turns blue in the face and dies proclaiming that he loves God. If he put his hands on a woman that was not his wife, he loves not God. It's that simple. You understand? Bible said, you love me, you keep my commandments. God said, if it ain't your wife, don't touch her. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Can I be honest with you? If you want to find out if there's a man left or not in society, then let another man touch on his wife, huh? I mean, if you want to find out if there's any men in Washington, D.C., just let old Bill Clinton and some of them loose and let them start rubbing on them. Why? I'll be honest with you, that sucker rub on my wife and one of us is needs to go to the hospital. Amen. I'm not tough and I'm not being mean. I'm just being honest. You don't let a man rub on your wife. Huh? You think Jesus Christ is going to let somebody mess with his wife? You think he's going to let somebody? I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. You might get whipped by with it for a day, and you might get by with it for a month. But I promise you, Jesus Christ is keeping a record. And sooner or later, one of these days, paydays are coming. And God is going to pay us back for the way we treat his wife. Amen. He's going to deal with us on that. You ain't going to get by old Carl Lackey preached on kicking the bride.
Yeah, kicking the bride, kicking the bride. How the book of Revelation, he said, go ahead, kick her. Stomp her in the ground. Go ahead, Miss Church. Go ahead and be unfaithful to her. And watch what Jesus does. Friend, he's coming back one day. And any red-blooded man in America is going to stand up for his wife. Amen. And so will Jesus. Well, folks have literally convinced themselves that although they keep not God's commandments, and they walk not in his statutes, they still love him. Could you imagine me trying to convince my wife of that? Could you imagine me calling her up on the phone and going, hello, Snookums. Want you to know, babe, that I was riding down the road and I want you to know that I love you. But I can't help it, baby. I've got to go see this old gal. I can't get her off my mind. I'm crazy about her. She just does things for me that you can't do. Are you listening? Could you hear me trying to explain to my wife about them other six ladies in my life? Could you hear me trying to make that thing go over with her? Friend, that wouldn't go over. That'd go over like a lead balloon. Can I tell you something, Miss Debbie? Jesus Christ ain't no different, friend. Friend, I'm telling you, if you love him, you'll walk with him. You'll be sold out to him. You won't have no other women. You won't have no other gods. It'll be him and him alone. He'll be the center of your heart's desires. Right. He's not going to put up with you having any other gods no more than your wife's going to put up with you. And I hope she don't having any other woman. That's right. Not unless you're a Mormon. God help us. There ain't no Mormons in here. I'd do something. She ain't accepting that thing, friend. Neither is God. Look at verse 16. John, he said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He's explaining to them that he understands. He wants them to know that he's going away, but he's going away with a purpose and he's going away for a reason. And he wants them to understand, hey, boys, I've been here with you. We've had a good time. We fellowship. We've got close to each other, man, and our hearts has been knit together. And I know that me leaving here is going to rip your heart out of you. I know it's going to leave you broke. I know it's going to leave you hurt. And I know it's going to leave you lonely. I know you're going to be comfortless. But listen to me. I'm not going to leave you in that kind of shape. He wanted them to understand that he was going to send somebody to comfort them even in his absence. I'm going to go, boys. It's imperative that I go. But I'll promise you one thing. I'm going to send somebody in my stead. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Look at verse 17. He said, even the Spirit. He said, who is that comforter? Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Verse 17 tells us who the comforter is. It's that Spirit of truth. There's a lot we can say about the Spirit of truth. Just amazing. One of the reasons people have a hard time, Michael, accepting truth is because they have not the Spirit of truth on the inside. Right? It's hard for them to discern the difference between truth and false. Did you see what the Bible said? The Bible said that he shall be in you. Verse 17 said, he shall be in you. The Spirit of truth is going to be in us, church. When I got saved, something happened to me. And it didn't just happen out here. It didn't just happen in a... It wasn't just in my shirt pocket, Miss Stephanie. Or them Marlboros or them Paul Mall non-filters just to sit. It didn't just happen in my shirt pocket. Thank God when I got saved, something happened on the inside of me. Happened in my heart. My deepest core of my very being. The deepest core. You say, preacher, what really happened? It was peace that kicked in. Peace. Joy kind of just stepped right on in. Fellowshipping with a father stepped right on in. There were some things that happened when I got saved. Can I tell you, contentment in my life stepped into me when I got born. I'm telling you, thank God when the Spirit of Truth came in. Thank God, so did joy, so did peace, so did happiness, so did contentment. Friend, I'm telling you, Jesus done some things down on the inside when I got saved. Right. And I'd smoke him old Pall Mall 9 filters because I could get them free. That's right. Just had to clear that. Ain't you glad the Bible says that the just shall live by faith? Ain't you glad? I'm glad the just has to live by faith. You want to know why it's so important? How many of y'all's ever seen the Spirit of Truth? How many of y'all's ever seen Him face to face? You can't see Him, but I tell you one thing, I know He's there. You say, how? Because of faith. I'm operating in that off of faith. Spirit of Truth. The evidence of the Spirit of Truth is in my life. The evidence is, I can't see Him, but I can see the evidence. I said, I can't see Him, but I can see the evidence. It's amazing that I can see evidence here and here and here, but yet you can't see none there and there and there. Are you listening? Do you get what I'm saying? Where's your evidence at? Hey, friend, the Spirit of Truth will bear some evidence in your life that you're the child of God.
Amen.
That's right. And I'm telling you right now, if you ain't got no evidence, you ain't got no Spirit. Amen.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Try to be nice. Walk away from that, Dave. Sometimes the only evidence I see in people's lives, Zach, is conflict. Yeah. Trouble. Just ugliness. How we doing? Cannot see the Spirit of Truth, but His evidence is there. I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. I can see His evidence, or a lack thereof, in your life too. Are you listening? I said, I can see the evidence of the Spirit of Truth or the lack of evidence in your life too. As your pastor, I can see some, and I can see some missing. Yeah, it's good. How we doing? Most of us in here have either grown up, listen, we've either grown up in a Christian, so-called Christian home, so we know how to walk, we know how to talk, we know how to put on a little smile. But can I be honest with you? The Catholics know how to do that too. The Jehovah's Witness know how to do everything that we do. They know how to come in here and throw some Bible out at you. They know how to smile. They know how to talk. Would you believe them bunch of idiots even know how to dress? Mm-hmm. So do we. What you doing, they ain't doing. What you doing, they ain't doing. It's good. I just lost about half of you, but that's okay. Maybe you'll come back. Say, preacher, why would you say that? Because about everybody in here's grew up in a little old home, and everybody in here is well educated on how to act up a church house. Well educated. You know good and well how to put on your little front. You ain't fooling me, you ain't fooling God. Boy, I tell you, be a happy day when you quit trying to fool yourself. Church, there ain't enough faking the fruit of the Spirit of God. There ain't no faking that. You can't fake the Spirit of the fruit of the Spirit. You can't fake that. I'm telling you, you can come in here and talk your talk and put on your show, but you can't fake the fruit of the Spirit. You can't do it. It won't last. It won't work. No. Look at verse 18. Trying to be real careful because I get thoughts in my mind, Michael, and I try not to say things because I don't like making people mad. But I want you to understand something. I didn't come to church to make nobody mad. God burns my hide up, Miss Stephanie. There ain't a week goes by. I can't hardly read my Bible without God tearing me up. You understand that? And I never do go to church and go, well, I'm going to get somebody tonight. I'm going to make somebody. It's not my goal to make. Y'all might cut my pay and I'm already making nothing.
Thank God. I'll have to really improve to get out of the negative before I get, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to do that. But if making you mad is what it takes to stir you up, to get you to look to God, then so be it, friend. I hope to God you get mad. And that's not even my goal. I don't want nobody mad. But I tell you what I do believe, Miss Stephanie. You take your agitator out of them old washing machines and you ain't getting them clothes clean.
Yeah.
I believe in that agitation. Hey, they've even got them modified today, but they still agitate them. They got them smooth around. They got them politically correct. Your wash machines today, they politically correct. They got some different kind of agitators, but nonetheless, they still agitate. Amen. I like it. I hope you come to church every once in a while in your carnal and lost condition and get shook up, get agitated. I do. I get agitated. Might help you see where you really stand with God. I'm a really nice guy. I really am. I'm a nice guy. I've had my pastor stand me up, Eric, and call me in front of the whole 300 people there. Call me every idiot known to man. Every heathen known to man. Well, I wanted to crawl under a pew and then go get him a Jenny Craig pamphlet and tell him how to lose weight because he was fat. It was on my own way of getting back at him. But you know what? There's a spirit of truth living down on the inside of me. And when I hurt people's feelings, ain't that something? He lets me know. He lets me know. I've seen two different people in the world, the fat ones and the skinny ones. And the skinny ones always sit around like, and the fat ones are always pretty happy. I say, bless God, go get you a cheeseburger and fill it up with grease and have yourself a ball. Amen. Quit being so stinking miserable. Chewing on your little roots or whatever it is destroying you. Amen. Verse 18, he said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you. I'll come to you. There's three that bear record in heaven, ain't they? The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Yeah. Everybody tries to separate them. Not around here, but boy, we got plenty of that going on. 19. Yet a little while, and the world see me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Michael, I've heard it all my life, and they even wrote that song, Oh, I Want to Love Him More. And people go, man, I want to know more about the Lord. I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. Can I tell you how to know more about Him? Can I tell you how to know more about Him according to verse number 21? Love Him. Love Him, because He said, if you love me, I'll manifest myself to you. Amen. You want to know why He ain't manifested Himself to us? You want to know why He ain't manifested Himself to us? You want to know why you can go a year, 2 years, 3 years, 30 years, 60 years without knowing God? Because you don't love Him. You don't love Him. I wish we could get a hold of that. Manifest Himself. The reason He ain't manifesting Himself is because there ain't no love. Is that not what your Bible just said? Look at verse 21. I lie not. He that keepeth my commandments and he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Don't love Him, you don't keep His commandments. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I'll love him. And He said, I'll manifest myself to him. I like that. Verse 22 says, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Listen to what Jesus said. And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Pretty good. Many, many times, folks claim that they love God, but they love their booze more. Sure. They love that old booze a little bit more. People say, I love God, but they love their fornication more. Because the Bible says, thou shalt not fornicate. People say, I love God, but they love their adultery more, because the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Just amazing. Well, we do pretty good with them old sins, don't we? Some of y'all just slide right by without fornicating, don't you? You do good, don't you? You get by so well without adultery in your life, don't you? Doing pretty good. What if we got up here tonight and just nailed your sin, the sin of covetousness? Because there's plenty of people in this church eat up with it. Plenty of people eat up with it up in here. Tonight was hot. Not on Sunday. With this crowd in here tonight. What if God jerked the covers off your covetousness? What if God showed you the hate in your heart? What if God showed you the murder in your heart? Huh? What if he would do that? Would you believe him then? I tell you, it's in the book. It's in the book. Won't you sit down with him and let him uncover this stuff in our life? We do good when the preacher blows out booze. We do good when he blows out fornication. They claim to love God, but they love their sin more. Why? Because that's what's bound in the heart of man. You understand that? It's bound in there. Folks, it's not until a man gets born again and the Godhead takes up residence in that man's heart, can that man even have that love. It's not until the Godhead moves in that he can love God more than he loves his sin. I'm up here. It's not until God moves in. It's not until the Father moves in. It's not until the Son moves in. It's not until the Holy Ghost moves in that you can even love him more than you do your stinking self. Love ourselves. I'll tell you why folks say they love God, yet they live in sin. It's because they have no concept of love. No concept. They've never met love. 1 John 4:8, they'd never met that love. Never met it. If you've ever been born again, you don't even know what love is. Oh, preacher, I do. I love my children. I love my spouse. I love my mom. Listen, you've got a real good natural affection. Real good, real strong. If you ain't screwed it out of your life, most teenagers and most people in this generation have already done that. Don't even know how to love them children. Don't know how to love that neighbor. Don't know how to love that spouse. Try, and don't know how, because the love of God is not shed abroad in our hearts. It's not till Jesus moves in that we can even understand that concept of love. These perverted Bibles and dictionaries today, they define love as some kind of romantic thing. Sickening. It's not what the Bible defines love as. God. Is that not so? God, for God is love. Is that what the Bible said? And here we are in a generation where every Bible and all the dictionaries, you can look that love up, man, and it carries with it the idea of some sensual, some sensational, some humanism, some filthy idea of what love is. That's not love, ladies and gentlemen. Can I tell you what the Bible calls that? Knowing somebody. Knowing somebody. Abraham knew Sarah. That's what the Bible refers there. Didn't say Abraham loved Sarah there. Not in that context. Said he knew her. So screwed up with our thinking. Sometimes love is God. You understand it? Through God expressing himself. Through God pouring himself out to us. We gain Jesus Christ on the cross. That's what love done. Love said, I'm going to express myself. Love said, I'm going to display myself. Love said, I'm going to show you myself. And he hung himself on an old rugged cross. The world sees love.
as little old fruity rainbows, and the world sees love as flowers, and the world sees love as men and women. The world sees love as hearts drawn on a piece of paper somewhere. That's not what God said about love. I'm going to show you love, okay? I'm going to show you God's love, okay? It ain't this. This is what the world says. Huh? That's the world. Thank God, this is what Jesus, God said. Put a bloody mess on there. And every sin that you could possibly think of. Put His darling Son on that cross. The sinless Son of God. Beat to a bloody pulp. I'm telling you, friend, it was the emblem of suffering and shame. You want to know what love is? It's an emblem of suffering and shame. The love of God is His only begotten Son, hanging on a cruel cross, dying in my stead, being made sin for me, being a reproach to man, being beat unrecognizable. That's the love of God. Know nothing about that. Love. Totally different than what God's thinking. He said, if you love me, you'll do what I say. Boy, when I see the cross, it makes me want to live for Him. Amen. When I see the cross, it makes me ashamed of myself. Yeah. It don't make me want to tiptoe through the flower fields. It doesn't do that. It makes me want to crawl off somewhere on my face and adore Him and apologize to Him for being this filthy ball of flesh and all my faults and failures and sins and just come clean with Him and put my arms around His feet and lay there and worship Him and adore Him and just be overtaken to Him. Most of the time, all people know about love is what the world's concept is and what religion has drawn a picture of. But you hear me and you hear me well, you won't understand true love until you meet God. Right? It wouldn't take much effort to make most people hate me. I'm pretty good at that. Don't like it, but it just comes kind of natural. Make my wife mad about 3 days a month. Do you understand God loves a sinner all the way to hell? Understand, you can get plumb bent out of shape if I do the wrong thing or even say the wrong thing. But you know what? People spit in the face of Jesus all the time. People reject Him. People cuss Him. People deny Him. People belittle Him. And I'm telling you, Jesus loves them all the way to hell. Do you hear me? He don't take pleasure in seeing them folks die. He don't take pleasure in seeing them go to hell. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, He loves them all the way to hell. And that's the love of God. You have that? Can you love people like that? Say, it's impossible. Yes, it is in your own power, in your flesh. It's impossible. But I'll tell you, when God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost moves on the inside, when that Spirit of truth moves on the inside, then you can love as God loved. Let me say something. Do you understand that you can love God as much as He loves you? It makes most Baptists nervous. But you know why? You know why you can love Him? Because He first loved you. You know He wants you to love Him like that. He wants you to love Him like He loves you. You say, how is that? Boy, He was willing to lay His life down for you. That's pretty good, ain't it? Jesus don't want us to die for Him. He wants us to live for Him. He wants to live through us. Oh boy. We look at people and we have our thoughts. Think about that for a second. Think about some of the thoughts that go through your head when you see certain people, certain things. But can I tell you that if they ever meet Jesus, listen to me real good. If a sinner ever meets Jesus,
they'll dress right. You won't have to make them.
Boy, I'm so glad, thank God, nobody had to show up at my house and told me how to dress, huh? You hear me? The Word of God done all that.
The Holy Ghost did that. He taught me some things. That Spirit of Truth on the inside, He taught me some things. I said, if they ever get born again, they'll know how to dress. That's right. If they ever get born again, they'll talk different. They'll drink from a different fountain. I say when they meet Jesus, they'll have a new way of living. Surely will.
Yeah.
The whole life will change.
Yeah.
Old things passed away. All things were cut new. I don't know if there was any more of a religious man than I was when I was lost. Don't. I went to church 3 days a week. Now, when I got there, I got out of church, but I was raised in church. Listen. 3 days a week, Sunday school. If we had a special service, we was there. If we had a revival meeting, we was there. If revival meeting went 7 weeks, we were there. If it went up to 1 o'clock in the morning, Miss Holly, we were there. It's just the way it was. I was pretty good and religious, Eric.
Do you know that when I was lost and I could tell you some of the filthiest things that you ever heard, I could talk so filthy it'd make your stinking flesh crawl. And I went to church 3 times a week. I went to Sunday school every week. I could talk so stinking, and I did talk so filthy that it would make your flesh just cringe sometimes at some of the filth that came out of my mouth.
You know, Miss Holly, that I would either go to school and get religious and try to lead people down the Romans Road. Would you believe it, Michael, that I could quote the Romans Road and lead people down it? And then by the time we got to the lunchroom, Miss Debbie, I could be in there telling some of the filthiest, nastiest, vulgarest junk you ever heard in your stinking life. But yet I led this old boy down the Romans Road over at home room a while ago.
You understand this, Eric, that I could talk as filthy and nasty and vulgar as anybody on planet Earth, but would you believe that I could quote 300 Bible verses, over 300 Bible verses? 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, I could quote you. I mean, Miss Debbie, just a filthy human being, and could quote you Bible verses, over 300 of them, straight out of the memorization catalog. Just pop them up. Spit them up. Say, what are you saying? I'm saying, man, I had it figured out. You hear me? I can talk the talk. I can put on the ritz. You understand? Man, I could get around the preachers and I knew, hey, best thing to do is just shut my mouth and they won't have me figured out. But shutting my mouth was the problem. And shutting the mouth is most of our problem. It tells on us. It'll tell on us. Because it tells what's in your heart. Michael, it was a happy day when I got born again and came out of the woods. I don't know how it happened. I don't know how it happened. But honest, before God, I didn't even have to think about talking filthy. God just, bam, son, my whole conversation changed. My whole conversation changed. I mean, it went from being filthy and vile and vulgar and wretched to trying to magnify the name of Jesus. And I want to tell people what Jesus done. And it made me walk different. I didn't just talk it. I walked it. And I didn't just walk in church. I lived it. I mean, it went home with me. You know what I had in the morning after I got saved? I mean, the very next morning after I got saved, I wanted to live for God that morning. I wanted to more than anything in this world, Jack. I wanted to walk in the fellowship of my Father. And won't talk filthy. Didn't have a desire to cuss. Didn't have a desire to walk in this old lust and the filthiness of this old flesh. Didn't have a desire for that. I wanted to walk in the Spirit of God. Didn't know anything about it. But boy, there's a change here. Would you believe that I've broke fellowship with God? Would you believe I've got out of step with God? Would you believe that I've grieve this very spirit that he's put inside of me? Would you believe that I've quenched the Holy Ghost of God?
Boy, I have. I've messed up sometimes so bad, church, and it was so grievous to God. It was so grievous to the Holy Ghost. It was so grievous to that spirit, that Godhead that was dwelling inside of me. Been times in my life that I've sinned and broke that fellowship with God. Would you also believe that when I did, the Holy Ghost was not comforting me in that time? It wasn't comforting me. Zach, I never did get to live in sin. The Holy Ghost go, it's okay. I never got to live in sin, Miss Holly. I never got to get out of step with God. I never got to break fellowship with Him, and I still can't unto this day. I never got to do anything like that, church, and the Holy Ghost that God put inside of me, put His arm around me and say, it's going to be okay. Don't you worry about it. You say, what was He doing? He was convicting me. He wasn't comforting me. Tell you, boy, the Holy Ghost of God was inside of me, and He was just grinding away, and He was convicting me, and man, showing me the error of my way, and just leading me back to repentance. Oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost to convict us of our sin. I say that, Miss David, because it's amazing at what people can get by with and never have any conviction. I'm going to tell you why they can do it. Because the Holy Ghost ain't on the inside. That's right. Holy Ghost ain't there, friend. Yeah. That's it. This is why the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth him that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Isn't that good? I'm telling you, friend, if you try to walk in iniquity, live in iniquity, dwell in iniquity, just flirt. I can't even flirt with it, Michael. I can't even entertain the thoughts without the Holy Ghost convicting me. You say, preacher, don't you mess up? Yes, I mess up. I'm just telling you, I don't even get to think about it without conviction. Boy, you talking about, and I guess I don't know a better way of saying it in the pulpit, but you talking about feeling like an old. I wish I could think of better words. I wish I was English smart. But you talking about feeling like an old egg-sucking dog, Zach. When I do break fellowship with Him, I feel like the worst of the worst, you understand? I mean, man, there's so much conviction there. And I just want to get that thing clean and right with God. Here's the proof of you loving Him. Here's the proof of you loving Him. Preacher, I love Him. Let's prove it. Do you keep His commandments? Do you keep His commandments? It's pretty good. You obey that book, ladies and gentlemen. That's pretty good evidence right there. You love Him. And nothing else I can say about it. Look at verse 24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine. Isn't that amazing? But the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Do you see there in verse 26 where God said the Holy Ghost will teach you? Listen up to me, church. Please listen up. And if you need me to go through this, we'll go through it. Not tonight, but we'll go through it. You see tonight, Zach, where He said the Holy Ghost will teach you? I just about can't stand to be around a know-it-all. Church, I go ahead and I confess it. I let your daddy know. I let McVeigh know. I let people know just right up front. I'm probably one of the dumbest people you'll ever meet in your life. Teach me. Anything you can teach me out of that book, praise God, I'm glad of it. You hear me? I hadn't arrived, friend. You understand? I'm on the bottom of this thing. I need somebody to help me. And if they can teach me something, I want to learn. But I've been around people, you can't tell them nothing. They know everything. There's people. And I said people, that's plural. That come up in here and try. Yes. I mean try not to learn anything.
Try to learn. You don't learn nothing. People comes up in this church. I ain't learning nothing.
Can't tell me nothing. Can't tell me nothing. Hello. It's good. How we doing? Say, preacher, how you know? God, I wish I had a chair. How you know, preacher? Because the Word of God is right here. And we're out here. And this is our body. The Word of God is being proclaimed. The Word of God is being right here proclaimed. And you would think it was down there. You would think it was over here. You would think it was up there. I'm talking about the Word. You ain't telling me nothing. You ain't telling me nothing. You ain't telling me nothing. You know what the Bible said the Holy Ghost would do? He'll teach you. He'll teach you. Now the Holy Ghost is going to use, God's going to use His man and convey things to us through the Holy Ghost. Isn't that amazing? Do you know what I seen sitting over here for a whole week and a half while Brother McVeigh was here? You know what I sit right here and I look across the congregation because I'm the pastor. You know what I look across and see? I look across and see body language. I want to see how we was perceiving and receiving. As a pastor, I want to know where we're at spiritually. Miss Deb, you know, I've seen people in this congregation barely make eye contact. I never seen make contact one time with a man of God while he was here. Everywhere but the Word of God. Everywhere but the preacher. Isn't it amazing? But they're some of the loudest people that you'll ever be around. But cannot focus on the Word of God. Not coming from a pulpit. Somebody that told you everything. Glad the Holy Ghost can't teach us nothing. Michael, I'm just being just very cautious. But sometimes, Miss Holly, if our dress was as long as our tongue, we would need 27 people to carry the flipping train behind us. I said if our dress was as long as our tongue, we need 27 people. How we doing, huh? We doing all right, church? Are you listening? Oh, we ain't talking about booze now. We ain't talking about being a whore. We ain't talking about being a drunk. We ain't talking about being a good. We talking about you running your mouth about somebody. Let's do that for a while. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about gossip for a while. Let's talk about backbiting. Let's talk about whispering. Let's do some of that. Let me just go ahead and say it. If we based our Christianity on our fruit, there ain't but a few of you people in here that even know God. I'm convinced, Miss Stephanie, if we base our Christianity on our fruit, there ain't but a few people in this congregation. I said a few. That's three, maybe, and I'm pushing it, that even know God. Say, preacher, I'm telling you based on fruit. Where's your fruit? Where's your fruit? Where's your fruit? Running your mouth about somebody? Is that your fruit? That's all I heard some of you do. That's your fruit. That's your fruit. Amen. Thank God. There's some of y'all that's sitting in this congregation, and I cherish everybody here. God, I hope you understand that. I cherish every soul sitting in this congregation. But there's some people sitting in this congregation, listen to me, you're lost. Thank God. I thank God. I rejoice in the fact that you even know you're lost. And there's been some of y'all that's come to me just here lately, and I want you to know, boy, I just cherish this. You've even been honest and said, I'm not saved, man. I don't have the real thing. And I want you to understand, I'm not looking around. I'm not looking around on purpose. because I don't want nobody to pinpoint you, but I want you to understand that I love you and I thank God for you. And I rejoice in the fact that God's jerked the covers off and revealed to you where you are. I mean, man, I really appreciate that. I greatly appreciate that. But I'm telling you, there's some people sitting in this congregation, your heart is as black as the night, and you don't even know it. There's some of you that's got a foul, wretched heart, and it just screams out of your life, and you don't know it. But I'll tell you, dear God, the people around that are sensitive to the Holy Ghost, it's easy to see the fruit in each other's lives, church. And I'm telling you, some of us has got black, filthy hearts, and we don't even know that we got. Let me ask you a question. Has anything of this been offensive? I hope to God, if it's been offensive, you understand that it's probably you that I'm talking to. Don't lie. You told me not to lie. And I ain't picking on you because you're my mama. I'm just saying, please, for God's sakes, I wish at this moment you wasn't my mama. But if I said anything that has offended you tonight, have I? Good. And I ain't said it because she's my mama. She's meaner than 19 flipping snakes. I'm just trying to say that if I've offended you, then probably you ought to take a good look at yourself. Please look at yourself. Ask God to jerk the covers on off and show me more of me. God help me. If you will, please look at chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Jesus said, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And Jesus said, it's for you good that I go home, ladies and gentlemen. It's for you good. It's expedient that I go. Because when I do, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to dwell in your heart. When I go, the Holy Ghost, he's not going to just walk up and down the earth in a physical form with you. Thank God he's going to be on the job with you. He'll lay down there in the bed with you. He'll sit in the living room with you. He'll go down there to the market with you. He'll hang out at the mall with you. The Holy Ghost will abide with you. I'm going to send him. He's going to do you better than what I've done. You understand that there was folks that heard Jesus preach, and then there was those that heard about Jesus Christ. There was those that Miss Edney literally got to sit there and hear him preach. But then there were some people in another land that only heard about Jesus. It was noised abroad. They heard about it. Let me say this while I'm thinking about it. How many of y'all was at Calvary when Jesus was crucified? How many of y'all was there? How many of you was at Golgotha when the Son of God was hanging on that cross? Well, none of us there. And that's how the Holy Ghost was. He was there. You see, the only way I know it's real is by what he's revealed to me in my heart. Oh, listen, the Word of God is so good. You understand Jesus Christ is good. But I need somebody to take that book and make it real to me. I need the Holy Ghost of God to turn them lights on and reveal to me and show me. Boy, I've heard preachers all my life scream and hoop and holler about Calvary, and I've never not appreciated it, I think, but it never was real to me until the Holy Ghost did his work in my life. I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, there was people that heard Jesus, and then there was those that heard about him. You say, preacher, explain. What do you think about little Zacchaeus? Why do you think he ran, Michael, before that crowd and went and climbed that sycamore tree? Because he heard that Jesus was coming that way. He heard, huh? I mean, he had heard good things about the Lord. Why do you think that little crooked tax collector, that little IRS thief ripping everybody off in the community, why do you think, for God's sake, he started giving everybody four times their money back? Why do you think, Miss Debbie, that woman with an issue of blood, when she was supposed to be killed for coming out there,
pressed her way through the crowd, said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, because she heard. She heard.
The old boy sitting over there by the wayside,
blind as a bat. He'd never been over there, but he heard that Jesus was passing his way. And he cried out and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Huh? Because he heard. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about Jesus may not be able to stand on the shores of Africa tonight, but there's a Holy Ghost. Amen. There's a Holy Ghost that can take that gospel. They can take that John 3:16 and carry it around this world. You understand? I'm telling you, the people of Black Creek can be up there in New York and they can hear that man of God preach. McVeigh can be in Pennsylvania and listen to Pastor Bob Black preach. You can be here in Mockville, North Carolina and hear your pastor preach. That little Kunta Kinte, he can be over there in Africa somewhere and he can hear some missionary preach. Would you believe that the Holy Ghost can be with everybody, everywhere, at the same exact time, and everybody can get in on the things of God? Thank God it was expedient for him to go. Now everybody in the whole world at one time can enjoy God and his very presence. He can live in their hearts and abide with them and comfort them and teach them. He can do these things all at one time with every burden, every person. Well, folks, it wasn't until Jesus passed by that these folks got what they needed. And when the Holy Ghost ushers him in, we'll get what we need. Amen. That's right, we'll get what we need. No matter what, where you are, no matter what you might be doing, God, the Holy Ghost, is going to point you in the right direction. Is that not so? He'll point you to Jesus. He'll point you in the right direction. Look at verse 12. Where are we at? 16, look at verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Sometimes as a pastor, and I'm not being stupid, but sometimes as a pastor, I feel like I just need to shut up. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Back in verse 7, it says, the Holy Ghost ain't coming until Jesus goes back to heaven. Why was it expedient for Jesus to come? Because the Holy Ghost was not going to come here until Jesus went there. It's expedient. It's imperative. Hebrews 5, 9 through 10 says, and being made perfect, he became the offer of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. I want you to understand that there was an Aaronic, Aaron. There was an Aaronic priesthood. There was a Levitical after Levi, the Levitical priesthood. But there's also a heavenly priesthood, and that's the Melchizedek priesthood, of which the Holy Ghost of God is the high priest. Just to tickle your fancy. How'd that blood get to heaven? How'd that blood get on the altar of air in the tabernacle? The high priest poured it on that altar. Same thing with Calvary. The Holy Ghost is the one that took care of that blood. He's the high priest of that heavenly priesthood.
Hebrews teaches us that he's going to heaven to be our high priest. He's going to be there making intercession for us. You understand the only way to make intercession to the Father is to be a priest? You can't make intercession to the Father unless you're a priest. You know what he said he's going to make us?
Look at verse 8. And when he has come, he'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment.
Many people think it's a preacher or a parent that's doing this. Isn't it amazing? Miss Stedney, we've raised three of them.
Miss Holly, you've been through 27 of them. And it's amazing how the kids think we're the ones that's reproving them of their sin. And many people sit in church and think it's the preacher that's reproving them of their sin. Church, that's what the Holy Ghost came for. That's why it was expedient for him to come. So he could reprove the world of their sin. Right. That's his job. You say, I've been reproved. Thank God for the Holy Ghost reproving us of our sin. He has literally stood me up in church and called my name through the mouth of my preachers. Huh? Stood me up in front of God and everybody and just let everybody know all my business personally. Miss Holly, I thank God for it. I sure thank God for it. I didn't at the time, but I sure thank God. I didn't get home, Miss Stephanie. You hear me? I didn't get home, Eric, before the Holy Ghost made me glad. Made me go back and put my arms around my pastor and apologize and tell him I love him and I was mad at him and I'm sorry for getting mad and thank God for him preaching to me and setting me straight and thank God for him loving me and being obedient to the Holy Ghost. Thank God. You was there, Miss Stephanie. Yeah. What about pride? I didn't have time for that at the time. Boy, I had to stay right with God. Verse 9 says, of sin because they believe not on me. Can I tell you what's more wicked than what we wear? Can I tell you what's more wicked than what we drink? Can I tell you what's more wicked than what we watch? Our unbelief. I tried to encourage y'all to go listen to Brother Aswell's message on Joshua or Joseph. And on that repentance, December 11th, and I still encourage you to go listen to that. December 11th, 11 o'clock service. Listen to that. Because if you'll remember, Michael, when them brothers came, they started confessing all kinds of things. Has anybody listened to it yet? It's okay. Just try to listen to it on his website. But if you remember when the brothers came over there to Egypt to get that corn, man, they started confessing, oh, we've sinned, we've done this, we've done that. And they started naming off, boy, we're wearing the wrong clothes, we shouldn't have drunk that, I tell you, we shouldn't have ate that pork, we've done all, oh, God, we've done all this, we ain't doing exactly, they started naming all them things. None of it was true repentance. All of it was the fruit of the real sin, all of it. All of it. This stuff we wear. All this stuff. This stuff that we say. These ways that we act. I mean, Miss Stephanie, these non-charitable acts of ours. It's all just evidence of the real problem. Right. Eric, I have to say some of the stuff that I say because when I was a boy, we listened to them preachers that preached it as gun barrel straight as humanly possible. I mean, son, you got the right glasses on. Do you understand? And I'm not being funny, and some of y'all know it's the truth. And I'm not making fun of him because he needed to do whatever he did, but everybody in the world made a mockery out of him. He made a fool out of himself, and he'll tell you that. But he had to do it. He preached against them wire-rimmed glasses. He preached against cowboy boots. To the point where old Jack Woods even showed up down there at his church and Jack owned nothing but cowboy boots. He was a cowboy. Lived out there in the jungles of Brazil with 244s on his side for years. Out there in a tent in a jungle. He was a cowboy. His transportation was a horse. That's how he done. Didn't change. He'd go get in the pulpit down there in Texas and still wear them 44s. Had to. Had women coming up on the porch step of his church, pulling their pants down, swat down, going, Jack, this is what I think about you, and taking craps on the doorsteps of the church. That kind of stuff all the time down there. Sweet preacher. Got all kind of crazy in the head, but what I was saying there, because I heard them preach against the wire-rimmed glasses, I heard them preach on the cowboy boots, I've heard them preach on the long hair on men, the short hair on women. I've heard them preach on the skirts being too short and the pants being too tight. I've heard, and I've sat in church and I've watched a bunch of hellions
sit and say amen and hoop and holler and rejoice in the Lord and go home and mistreat their family and go back to church and put big offerings in and weep and cry, raise their hands and shout hallelujah, quote Bible verses, stand up and testify, and go home and cuss their wife out and beat their wife and hate their families. I've seen them go back to church. Hey, friend, I have to mention this stuff. Because that's a little boy and mama I'd sit in church sometimes and go, why don't he preach on people that run their mouth? Why ain't he preaching on people that abuse their families? Why ain't he preaching on people that abuse these children? Because a bunch of perverts could sit in the service and shout amen. Because they didn't have long hair. And their skirts was nice and long. Right. But their hearts was filthy as hell. Filthy, filthy. No love of God. No love of God. No Holy Ghost. No Spirit living on the inside. No reproof. Preacher, you mean? I wish you knew me. I'm the opposite of that. I'm not trying to be mean, I promise you. I'm trying to be dead level with you. I'm trying to shake this little world that we live in. I want to shake it up every once in a while. I want it to help you. I want God to be able to listen. If I could rattle somebody's cage through the leadership, through the instruction, through the direction of the Holy Ghost, if I could help rattle your cage and get God out of your head. And get him in your heart. It'll be worth every mile. It'll be worth every anger. It'll be worth everybody turning on you. If I could just get him out of our head. And get him in our hearts. Get him down in our soul. Get him down in the corridor of our very being. Let Jesus be in every intersection of our soul. The very thoughts that protrude. The very words that come out of our mouth. Oh, God help us. Get him in our hearts. If he ever gets in our heart, it'll help change your life. It'll produce fruit in your life. Are you listening? It'll produce fruit. Well, I've been up here for an hour and 15 minutes, I think. Something like that, and I'll quit. Let's read through these verses real quick. Verse 10 says, he's going to reprove the world of sin because of their unbelief and of righteousness because I go to the Father. You see me no more. Jesus Christ is righteous. He is our righteousness. And of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. That's the devil. I was thinking today of people that just want to follow the devil. And I did too for a while. But go ahead, you just follow a loser. I didn't read the book of Revelation. He's a loser. You're following a loser. You're going to end up. Look, the Bible says he's going to be cast into the lake of fire and the smoke of his torment is going to ascend up forever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen. He's a loser. Verse 11 says, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Verse 12, 13, and 14 says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. How be it? When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. It's expedient for him to come. He'll guide us into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear. He's going to hear from heaven. That shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And the Bible says that he shall glorify me, Jesus said. It's expedient, because he's going to glorify me. And he said, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Ghost wants you to know where and what you are, ladies and gentlemen. He wants us to know. He wants those that are lost to know that they are a sinner. They're unrighteous. You have not the ability to go to heaven on your own.
But if you go to heaven, you're going to go through Jesus Christ and his righteousness. The Holy Ghost wants you to know that Jesus is the sinless Son of God. He wants you to know that. And he wants to manifest himself to you, and he wants you to love him. He wants you to love him with all your heart. He wants you to love him with all your heart. Do you love him with all your heart? Oh, God help us. I hope the Lord has showed us something tonight. Church, I promise you unto God, when I do this stuff, it tears me all to pieces. Sure does. God preaches this stuff to me. And he's a much, much better preacher than I am. Eric, there's nothing I like about my preaching. Look you in the eyes and tell you there's nothing I like about my preaching outside that book. I don't like my antics. I don't like my voice. I don't like my methods. I don't like anything, Miss Stephanie. But I'm so glad, thank God, it ain't about me. It's about that word. Huh? Hey, man, it ain't about me. Look beyond me, church. Look unto the Lord Jesus. That's what the Holy Ghost is here to do. Get you to look at him. That's right. This is what he said. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. Father, we thank you for this time. I pray, dear God, that you'd take and let this be a help to this church. Help us, dear God, to snap out of some of our coldness and some of our deception and some of the lies. And God, help us to see the light. And help us, dear God, to walk closer to you. And help us, God, to have a greater desire. And help us, dear God, to seek after you. I pray, blessed God, that you'd use it for your honor and glory in this place and in these lives. Thank you for everybody that's here. Pray your blessings to be upon them. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.